MGTOW men, welcome back. I realize this is not a sunrise hoodie-esque video. This is more of like a moonlight hoodie video, if you will. Just got back from work, and I had the day to dwell on this topic. Maybe my life so far. And it's the thought that hypergamy does not have a finish line. Thus, you don't if you're trying to satisfy the hypergamy vampires. So hypergamy deterrence... the garlic to the hypergamy vampires. What are they? Do we think that they can stop hypergamy from running rampant? No, they can't. And hypergamy doesn't just float. Hypergamy keeps running. It doesn't have a finish line. Okay, Paul Proteus brought that forth, hypergamy floating. Very true. And once again, check out that video. I'm not here to redefine hypergamy. And if there's one MGTOW concept that's really talked about in the MGTOW community, it's probably been hypergamy, one of the most reoccurring themes. And before I get any further, I understand that there are maybe some people that are new to the term hypergamy. So hypergamy, as defined by MGTOW.com, is every woman's innate urge and willingness to sleep with a male of higher status than the one she's currently settling for. Settling is a key word there. Really hinges on that. Virtually guaranteeing that her boyfriend or husband is never her first choice. The thing is, it's not just limited to sex, as it alludes to in this definition. I think it extends to passerbys, or the guy at work that she uses for X, or the guy that she knows at the gym that she uses for X, or the X that she uses for X. It could still exist at many levels. And I mentioned hypergamy deterrence in yesterday's video, so I figured I'd follow that up. And I'm going to comment on an email I got from a viewer last night. Thanks again for the email, homie. You know who you are. Subjects that I thought may warrant addressing is how he begins his email. My ex-wife, when married to me, was longing forward to our 10th year anniversary to receive her new diamond ring. It didn't matter what the state our marriage was in. So every decade was a new reward for her, not us. FYI, we divorced at 8.5 years. So apparently that diamond ring did not come. Instead, he got that new motorcycle, which he alluded to. And here's the thing. No marriage is safe, and part of the blue pill paradigm is thinking that things are secure and safe. When you begin to think that things are generally safe and secure, not just in marriages, but in life, you run yourself into situations that you don't know how to get out of. A little rest, a little folding of the hands, and poverty sneaks up on you like a bandit. And it's from Proverbs, and I don't remember what verse of it is, and I'm not word for word, but I'm bringing this up because this is how many men get caught. The famous line is, marriage is a finish line for a woman while it's the starting blocks for a man. And this is largely true because of the fact that it's an extension of the concepts in the sexual marketplace. Women are the sellers, men are buyers. Okay, and the seller is fixated on the point of sale. They want the sale. They want the money from the sale. The seller doesn't really care that much on how the product is used or if the person is exceedingly satisfied with it. They might if they're thinking about reviews, and they might if they want that person to come back and they have an interest in getting returning buyers. Although, once again, the finish line is getting someone to buy what you're selling. That's the goal. That's the man in the sexual marketplace, the one buying. The female is looking for the man to make the purchase, and once that purchase is made, and a second purchase could be the birthing of a kid or a child in the relationship, but the woman can rest understanding that there is a supposed commitment to receive the money that they agreed upon before the sale. That could be general support, financial support, housing, clothing, food, and just someone to help provide for her and her kids that she's having for him. Thus, the man has purchased the item on the market. But if we're talking about him... And this in terms of cars, what's the point of making that purchase if he doesn't drive the car? He has to drive the car to consummate the purchase. He has to keep that car going. And the key right here is that in order to keep that car happy, he's got to get that car working, make sure the purchase was worth it. He understands that he has to give that car maintenance. He has to put money into that car to keep it going and to keep it fresh. He has to put it on the highway every once in a while, get oil changes. If he doesn't, then the purchase wasn't likely worth the money because he's not running the race with it at all. All right? Is the juice worth the squeeze? That's what this comes down to. And the parallel really works with marriages, and especially today, because they're not symbiotic. And they're essentially opportunities for people to take or to feel that they've accomplished something. Previously, marriages were in a structure that helped benefit the community as a whole. Now that they've been turned into a conquest, which is what they are now, You can never have enough oil changes. You can never have enough paint jobs, car washes, whatever you want to say. That's because marriage is viewed as persistent resource gathering for the sake of resource gathering, not resource gathering for the sake of building. And consequently, hypergamy is even more rampant because it should just exist in people's minds when they get married. And here are some lies in the blue pill realm regarding modern day relationships and marriage that I think that many of us have either thought of or lived out before and have been subsequently hit blindsided by hypergamy, and they're very naive in nature. Men often think that they can offset hypergamy by being nice and always providing. Men think that they can offset hypergamy by being loyal. Men think that if they create situations in which they perceive to deserve something, they'll get it. It's not true. Men think that there is an endpoint to the demands that hypergamy thrusts on them. Men think it's in control. It's in their control how satisfied their wife is. Men think that relationships operate inside a vacuum. So hypergamy knows no satisfaction because hypergamy is far deeper than just wanting more. It's really a mindset that plays off as insecurity and pride. And insecurity and pride direct the day. The feelings of hypergamy are amplified today because of a number of variables. And I'll delve into that at a later date. But I just want to emphasize, as the title says, hypergamy doesn't know a finish line. It doesn't end. And it can't be fended off forever. It's like being a warrior. You're standing in a myriad of assailants. You take out one. And then after the swing of your sword, a strike of your sword, you realize that there are 20 more assailants around you that you have to take down in order just to advance to tomorrow. It's a constant war of attrition. And MGTOW is leaving that war of attrition. And what are hypergamy instigators? So I think these are things that initiate greater wantings, greater feelings of hypergamy, if you will. And there are a number of things that will make the itch for hypergamy to become stronger for a woman in a relationship, in a marriage. And those things require power moves, I guess, in order to keep the hypergamy Draculas at bay, to keep the relationship just going. And a steady income that is not seen will not satisfy the mind of a woman that is focused on building her own life rather than the woman that is focused on earning and taking, okay? It won't satisfy that woman that's looking for earning and taking. The woman has often lived in a series of unstable situations in her past. That woman, the single mother in her past, is likely going to have lack of provision PTSD even. And the hypergamy deterrence, that's going to be rough with that. So in the mind of a man caught in the hypergamy onslaught, he has to have a myriad of power moves in his chest. He has to have a myriad of hypergamy cards in his hand that he can play at any time. Oftentimes, the man can keep her interested to a date later on if he promises something a few years down the road in order to keep her interested. But to get back at these hypergamy instigators, these things are a lack of energy, which can lead to a lack of libido, worsening physique, loss of a job, spending more time than normal at work despite the fact that it's necessary, becoming more disciplined, surprisingly, getting sick, getting cancer, getting a chronic illness, having to devote a lot more time to an issue in the immediate family, parents, etc. All of these things are typical, and some of them are noble, but they often require a hypergamy deterrent, a power move to keep things at bay. It's sad, but it's the case. And I say all this because, not to be negative, but I want to get a point across that yes, the bigger, better deal will always be pursued today in a world crafted by the paradox of choice. And because I want to warn us that the finish line is never on the horizon when you opt back into that game that we're trying to leave, you never get to rest. You don't. You never know when that last checkpoint is and the finish line will be there looming for you, because when it comes to hypergamy, there isn't any finish line. It's a mirage, and the water breaks are not often on that marathon. And MGTOW is the best course of action here because you're able to jettison this. You are able to clear your mind. You're able to evade double-mindedness and have a better chance of living a life of peace. The thing is, people think that by thinking this and admitting that hypergamy has no ends, that we're just running away. No. The juice isn't worth the squeeze, and a man now has a greater chance of devoting his mental and physical energy to that which can be far more noble than fighting hypergamy Draculas. So, if you got a MGTOW testimony, if you got another email like this, just a short one, you can hit me up at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter @sunrisehoodie. Sorry if I was stumbling over my words today. It was a 12-hour day. Anyway, hoodies are up, men. Hoodie is out.